Well, I praise God and our Lord Jesus Christ for their faithfulness to us. Last week, I volunteered to bring this message today, and next week it will probably be somebody else speaking. And so during this time, you get to have a variety of ministers preaching to you from the pulpit. I know it's been a difficult week for many people. It has been hard on everyone here at OIC. Some people are really wondering what is going on, and they're saying, why is this happening? Well, no matter what opinion any of us have about what has taken place, we should all agree on one thing. We are in a great spiritual struggle. And so today's message is dealing with the spiritual battle. Let's begin by reading our text for today. It's from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our passage today tells us that we aren't wrestling one another. Our real challenge is in wrestling with spiritual forces. But what are we to do? How do we engage in this spiritual battle? Well, the passage that we just read, I see at least three things that we can take note of. The first is found in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. The second is stand against the schemes of the devil. And then the third is remember that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but in the spirit realm. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. How many of you are familiar with the old classic Pilgrim's Progress? Two, three, okay, four. You know, this used to be the number two bestseller in the world next to the Bible. There are many great Christians who have said, next to my Bible, Pilgrim's Progress is what helps me as a Christian. It was written over 300 years ago, and the English is kind of hard to understand. There are newer versions out there, so whatever version you pick up to read, I highly recommend it. It was written by John Bunyan. I mixed the two up. John Bunyan, he was a pastor who had been jailed for his ministry, and he wrote it as an allegory to help the members of his church understand what they were going to go through in their Christian lives. He starts out with a character by the name of Christian, and Christian lives in the city of destruction. But he's got a really big problem. It's this big, heavy pack on his back. Everywhere he goes, the pack is there. He cannot get rid of it. And Bunyan tells us that the pack represents his sin, and it was always a weight pulling him back. He knew that he was going to die. He knew that his sin was going to drag him down, and he was afraid and would cry out in agony. Then one day, a man by the name of Evangelist came to Christian, and he told him about how he could escape from the city of destruction and go to the celestial city, which in the allegory represents heaven. But first, he would have to travel a long road, and that was the pilgrimage, the Pilgrim's Progress, the pilgrimage that Christian took. One of the first places he came to on that road was the cross. And at the cross, he stood there, and suddenly the straps of his pack just broke. And the pack fell off of his back, down into a deep hole in the ground, far, far, far away from him. And he was free, and he was forgiven of his sin. He was rejoicing and dancing around and so happy that finally the sin that had weighed on him was gone. But he had a long way to go. The next one of the major places that he stopped was a castle. And at the castle, he received armor. He got a helmet and a breastplate, and a belt and a sword and his special pair of shoes to protect his feet. And above that, he had a shield of faith, the shield that he could use to fend off the attacks of the devil. He spent a long time at the castle, learning about the master and his ways, and studying about the celestial city, and looking forward so much to going there. Finally, the day came when he had to continue his journey. And the first place that he went to, after he left this castle, this wonderful time, was the Valley of Humiliation. What happened in the Valley of Humiliation in the story has always stayed with me. This is a Christian. He was saved. He was on his way to heaven, the celestial city. So why did he have to go through the valley? That is the way that the road went. And in the valley, he met Apollyon, which you probably, if you haven't read the book, you probably haven't heard of Apollyon either, but that's a name for the devil. He met the devil. And the devil came to him and said, "I am the prince of the city of destruction, and you are my citizen. You cannot leave my city." And Christian stood up to him and he said, "I am no longer your citizen. I belong to the master of the celestial city. I am his citizen." It came to a fight. The devil began to shoot flaming arrows at Christian. He held up his shield and thunk, thunk. He caught quite a few of the arrows in his shield, but every so often one would slip through and it would strike him. He became weaker and weaker. And then Apollyon pulled out his sword, and he was represented as a large dragon. So he's bigger than Christian. And he's swinging his sword, boom, boom, boom. And Christian is holding up a shield and trying to strike back with his own sword. But Apollyon is pushing him back. And finally, Christian stumbles and he falls down on the ground, weakened. And Apollyon says, "If I cannot keep you as my citizen, then I will have you dead." And he raised his sword for one final plunge to finish Christian's life. And at that moment, Christian looked up at him and he said, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise." That's from Micah. And with that, Christian jammed his sword up into the underbelly of the beast of Apollyon. And Apollyon screamed and ran away. And then God came to Christian and ministered to his wounds and healed him completely. Christian went on from there and had many more adventures on the road to the celestial city. If you'd like to know about them, you can read the book. What this particular battle scene, though, brought home to me was that we use the Bible to stand against the devil. Now, how can we do that if we don't know much about the Bible? A lot of people have Bibles, but they don't read them. Here in Japan, we're free to have Bibles. In fact, I'm not sure if it's still true, but a few years ago, the number one best-selling book in Japan, with only a few percent of Christians, is the Bible. We have it available to us. It wasn't always that way. In the Dark Ages, the people couldn't read the Bible. It was only written in Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. You had to be a scholar in order to read the Bible. And there were men who said, "This is not right. We need to get the Bible into the language of the common people." And yet the powers that be at that time forbade them to translate the Bible into the common language of the people. And many of them had to give up their lives as they tried to translate the Bible. They were persecuted. Even today in the world, there are countries where if you have a Bible, you have to hide it. If people find out about it, you may be reported to the police, you may lose your job, you may be pushed out of your family, and you may even go to jail for it. But we have it freely available to us. And it is powerful if you read it and meditate upon it. It's like taking vitamins or lifting weights to build your physical strength. Spending time in the Word builds your strength spiritually. Now, you can't just carry it around with you or lay it on the table and forget it. But you have to open it up and spend time with it. Get into it. Remember, this is God's Word. So as you study it, pray and ask God to guide you into the truth that He's revealing in His Word for you. And the Holy Spirit will come and bring insight and understanding to you. So build yourself up in the knowledge of God. Pray always and have faith. You are not on your own. When you are in trouble, God is there. Just rely on His might. If you are in Jesus, you are saved. Your name is written in the book of life. But living the Christian life is more than just where we're going to go when we die. It is how we live in this earth here and now. You can live in fear of the devil. You can live in fear of other people. You can live in fear even of people in the church. But this passage tells us to be strong. Strong in the Lord. Go in His might. If you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that when you come to faith in Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. His mark, His name, His own self is on you. So the Holy Spirit is in you, and He is there to guide you. Don't be afraid. Wherever you go, He is with you. Furthermore, His angels are all around you. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 7, it tells us, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them." The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. So, if you think about that, what it means is right here, there are angels with us. If you are in the Lord, there are angels here with us. We can't see them, and we don't pray to them, and we don't worship them, but they are here with us. They are sent by God to protect us. Sometimes it's protecting us from spiritual attacks. Sometimes it's actual physical protection. I have a couple incidents in my life that I could share with you, but I don't have time today. But I truly believe there were angels. And that's why I'm standing here today. Randy Alcorn, one of my favorite authors, has written a lot about heaven. And in one of the books that he's written on, it's a Christian fiction. It's based on biblical truth. He uses passages from the Bible to support what he says, but the characters are fictional. In this book, there's a man who was a very earnest Christian. And one day, he's killed in a car accident. And he ends up dying in the hospital. And he goes to heaven. And when he's in heaven, he meets many people. He meets Jesus and he meets loved ones who've gone on before him. But there's this particular angel that comes up to him. And he says, "You know, I walked with you most of the years of your life." Here was this angel that was with this man in his life here on earth, and he had never seen him before. But in heaven, he could stand beside him and talk with him. Someday, me too, and you too, will have the pleasure of speaking with angels that are with us now, protecting us that we haven't seen or are not really aware of. So if you're facing a situation, say you're having trouble at work, just remember, when you go into that situation, the Holy Spirit is in you, and there's an angel that's with you. Doesn't that give you confidence? From that comes faith and strength. If we are weak, it's not because we are unable to be strong. It is because we don't have faith in God and His promises to be with us. If you are confident of this, you can go out and face whatever comes your way in strength. Be strong for service. Be strong for suffering. Be strong for fighting against the devil. Secondly, stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil is crafty. In the account in the Garden of Eden, he came as a tempter in the form of a snake. And he took words of God and twisted them around to tempt Adam and Eve to disobey God. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it refers to the devil as the ancient serpent, the deceiver of the world. He is experienced in the art and trade of tempting. He will lie. He is the father of lies. But we don't need to give in to Him and His ways. He is older than the earth. He is cunning and tricky. But He is not equal with God. Don't get that idea ever. It's not two opposites fighting in the cosmos for us. It's God and His creation. And part of that creation is the devil who has rebelled against God. But we don't need to fear him because we are in Jesus. The book of James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. That's it. Just don't give in to him. He is the biggest bluffer in the world. He's the bully that lies and cheats, but he has no guts. If you're in Christ, you do not need to fear the devil. I used to be afraid of dogs. When I was a teenager, one of our neighbors had a dog. And whenever I walked by their, not whenever, but often, when I walked by their house, that dog would be on the loose. And as I'm going along the sidewalk, he'd come out. And he would come right up to me. And if I stopped, he would stop, but he would keep barking. But if I tried to move, he would jump in close like he was getting ready to bite me. And so I would take a step and then stop. Stare him down a little bit. And then take another step and then stop. One time, I remember, it took me 5 minutes to get past the neighbor's house. And it was only about 30 meters long that I had to traverse. After I got past, he'd go back to his porch and leave me alone from there on. But I got pretty tired of this treatment. I had heard that you should never be afraid of a dog. And this is true. This is something my grandmother told me and other people have told me. Never let a dog know you're afraid. They can sense it and they will attack. So I decided that I was not going to let this dog slow me down and mess up my day anymore. The next time I passed that house, the little dog came running out. And I just kept walking. I didn't even look at his direction. I just kept on going. And you know, he never did bite me. He turned around and went back to his porch and gave up. I found out a few years later, with that kind of dog, if you yell and you jump in their direction, they'll squeal and run away from you. I realized that as long as I was afraid of it, that dog had the advantage over me. But if I ignored him, he would go away. And if I stood up to him, he would run away. Folks, the devil is like that dog. I don't mean to say that he is powerless. But if you are in Christ, he has no power over you. Now, if you deal with the devil, if you worship him, or if you encourage him, or if you do things like praying to idols and so on, then yes, he can gain power over you. But notice, it is only as you give him power that he has it. If you don't give it to him, he can't hurt you as long as you are in Christ. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. There's a song about that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Maybe sometime we'll add that to the index of songs and sing it. But it's true. You have Jesus in you, and he is by far greater than anything the devil can do. So what are the devil's schemes? Well, deceit is one of them. He wants us to believe lies about God's truth. Maybe he'll whisper to you, you know, God really doesn't love you. He might love other people, but you? No. You're not good enough. Don't believe it. Listen, if you've realized that you are guilty of sin, and you've realized that all have sinned, including you and me, and if you've realized that if you die with the guilt of sin, you will be eternally punished. If you've realized this and you've confessed it to Jesus, and you've sincerely asked him to forgive you of your sins, then he has. Don't listen to anything else. 1 John 1:9, my favorite verse in the Bible, one of my favorites anyway. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You don't need to take that stuff from the devil. Don't believe him. He's a liar. God has taken your sin away from you. You are no longer under the guilt of it. You are a new person in him. He loves you like his very own child because you are his very own child. It tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." If you're in Christ, you are his child. That's powerful. Another thing the devil schemes at is tempting you. It seems he can put thoughts and ideas into our heads. He appeared to Jesus to tempt him to disobey the Father, to be proud and powerful, and to doubt the Father's love and protection. I'm sure you know the account where Jesus, after his baptism, went out into the wilderness for 40 days. And he went for 40 days without food. And then the devil came to tempt him. And the first temptation that the devil used on him was a stone. Jesus was hungry 40 days without food. Okay? And the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread and eat it. Go ahead. You know you want it. It's okay. Do it." Well, normally there's nothing wrong with eating bread, unless you're on a low-carb diet, which I've been failing miserably at lately. But normally there's nothing wrong with eating bread. However, in this instance, Jesus was obeying his Father in the fast. And so it would have been against the Father for Jesus to eat the bread. And Jesus replied to the devil with a Bible verse. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So next the devil took him and he showed him the world and he appealed to his desire for power. And he said, "You can have all of this. I have authority over it and I will give it to you if you will worship me." And Jesus answered again with a Bible verse, "You shall worship only the Lord your God and him only shall you serve." And so finally the devil took Jesus to a high place and he said, "Go ahead and jump. The Bible says the Father will take care of you. He'll send angels to catch you so you don't hurt your foot." In other words, the devil was saying to Jesus, "Maybe you aren't who you believe you are. Why don't you test God and see if he really will protect you?" And Jesus answered the devil with another Bible verse. He said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And then the devil went away from him and the angels came and ministered to him. And the temptations were over. So what do we learn from this account? Three things. One, Jesus was tempted. And you will be tempted too. Two, Jesus resisted the temptations by quoting Scripture. And that's our tool as Christians to resist the temptations of the devil. And three, in the end, the devil went away for a while. And then he came back. And that's the way it is in this life until we get to heaven. But the devil will go away, as James said. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then my final point today is, remember, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but in the spirit realm. Too often, it is easier for us to decide that the enemy is some person we are dealing with. People will oppose you, but the real enemy in these situations is the devil. He works in people to influence them in ways that are harmful. He works at getting each of us off track from where we should be. He likes to get us divided up and fighting one another. There's a song that we sing here at OIC often, and they're going to sing it after I get done preaching. But it is, "The battle belongs to the Lord." I love that song. It really is God's battle. We are just the soldiers doing what he has put in front of us. We aren't responsible for winning the war. It's God's war. He is going to win it. All we need to do is the little part that he's given each of us to do. Don't fret over the big battle. It's God's responsibility. Just be faithful in what he's given you to do. We do have something that we all are supposed to do. and that is to pray. Now, praying is communing with God. When we pray, we praise God for who He is and for what He's done. And then we thank Him for what He is doing in us and in the world around us. And then we bring before Him our concerns. Concerns that we have for ourselves, for those around us, for our brothers and sisters, and for people in other parts of the world. Distance is no matter in prayer. Quite a while back, my sister was diagnosed with cancer while Jill and I were living here in Japan. This was almost 30 years ago. And, you know, I've always been close to my sister. She's 12 years older than me, and she was like a mother to me. My mother worked when I was a little kid, and my sister took care of me. I had two brothers between her and I, and they would kind of pick on me sometimes. You know how boys can be. And my sister would defend me against my brothers. And, you know, and I wanted to marry her, I'll be honest with you. Until I found out I couldn't. And then I found Jill. Much better. Okay, I'm digressing here. But anyway, my sister was diagnosed with cancer, and she was going through treatment for cancer. And I really, really wanted to be there with her. No one in my family had had cancer before, my immediate family. And, you know, cancer, that's the C word. Don't people die of that usually? They don't. I'm just saying that. That's what I thought at the time. I really wanted to be with her. But I was reminded by the Spirit that I could pray for her here in Japan, and that my prayer here was just as effective as if I had been there beside her. And because I was so far away from her, I probably prayed more for her while I was here than if I had been there in America. And I realized that God being beside her was a lot more effective for her than me being beside her. And so I prayed, and I had peace. And we did see her again at the end of our term as missionaries. She recovered from that cancer as well. These days, we especially need to pray for God's work here. We pray for each other. We pray for people with hurt in their hearts over what has been taking place recently. We pray for those who aren't here today, and we pray for those who are. We pray for wisdom for the church leadership and for each of us. And we pray for love to abound. In closing, seek to be strong in the Lord. Spend time in the Bible, His word to us. Spend time in prayer, expressing your praise and your concerns. And be still before the Lord as He brings comfort and peace to you. Resist the devil. He will surely come and attack, condemn, and tempt you. But you are standing in the great God, creator of the universe, and savior of all who come to Him. Don't be afraid. Stand your ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, hallelujah. We praise You and we worship You. You are the creator of all that is. You are the sustainer. It is because of Your love and Your compassion for us that we are even alive. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness in the past. As we look back over our lives, there are many times when You have been there. As we look back over the history of this church, there are many times when You have been there and provided great deliverances. We pray for each person here today. Lord, You know what is in our hearts, whether it's work situations or family struggles or financial issues or whatever the problems are, Lord. Sometimes they seem like Apollyon and the great giant facing us and beating us back. Help us, Lord, to stand firm in You. Give us strength. And Lord, we pray in this spiritual battle around us for Your victory. We trust You for it. These things we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If the worship team would come, thank you.